Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. In the name of Jesus, amen. You know, every once in a while, I get a little flustered up here. You know, you people looking at me and knowing how judgy you all are. You know, just kidding. Not that you put up with a lot. But you do get a little bit flustered, so that there's been an occasion, at least two or three times in my ministry, when I'll forget the words of institution or something, or what's that after? Oh yeah, you forget it, or the benediction at the end. Does the face shine? Is it countenance? Different versions mixed up in your head, or sometimes the blessing after communion. I've flubbed it a handful of times, and so a few months ago, when one of the communion assistants got a little flustered. I think it was flustered anyway. Maybe it was the Holy Spirit. But got a little flustered, I could relate. You probably see how the communion thing goes. You're singing the Agnus Dei, but during that, the assistants come up here, and first I commune, the communion assistants and our acolyte, and then I say the blessing, body and blood, strengthen and preserve you, and that. And then one of the communion assistants communes me. They give me the body, the blood, and then they, too, speak the blessing or a blessing to me. They can say whatever they want. They can make one up, or they can kind of do the standard. But once in a while, they get a little flustered. And I think that happened. Or again, it might have been the Holy Spirit. Or maybe there's not much difference between flustered and Holy Spirit. Maybe that's it. But after, he kind of paused a second, and he said, the body and blood for you. And then paused and said, God loves you. Now get up and serve Jesus. And it wasn't just what he said. It wasn't just, God loves you, now get up and serve Jesus. But it had a little grit to it like that. Almost a little drill sergeant-y. I'll call it an evangelical reprimand. You got the body and blood of Jesus. Everything is forgiven. So what are you sitting down there on your knees like a bumper log with nothing to do? Get up and serve Jesus. So God loves you. Get up and serve Jesus. This Easter season, in the Sundays after Easter, our epistle lessons, they're all coming from the book of 1 John. You know, 1 John, he's probably older in his ministry at this time, maybe writing these letters, maybe to his church in Ephesus, maybe all over the place, we don't know. And 1 John, it's a little bit of a difficult letter to read. Maybe like some people you know, John kind of talks and writes also in circles. So he kind of says something and then another thing, and he comes around to it and he hits it again and again and again. And one of the things that he hits over and over and over again is a lot of stuff about things like walking in the light. Walk in the light. Don't walk in the darkness. Love your neighbor. Be sure you're always loving your neighbor. And when you love your neighbor, make sure you don't just do it in word, but you do it in deed. And he comes around to these things over and over and over again. And if you didn't know more, you might get the impression that this John, well, he's just really good at telling people what to do. Or you might get the impression that it's a bitter, frustrated old Pastor John, frustrated at his congregation who's not doing what they're supposed to do. Or worst of all, you might get the idea that John speaks for a bitter old God who, if you don't watch it and do all the stuff he tells you to do, is going to bitter you straight to hell. Which is why it's important. Not just with 1 John, all the Bible, well, anything you read, I suppose, but especially with 1 John, is that you read through the whole thing. Because when you read through the whole thing, you get to hear a lot more. You get to hear where John started last week, and then the things that he hits over and over and over as he goes through. You get to hear John saying, it's happened. It's come. We've seen it. We've seen life and we've touched light, and it's for you. And his name is Jesus, and he is our friend. And through our word, he is your friend too. And we know that you're sinners. So don't lie about it to yourself and to God and pretend you're something else. But get this, when we confess our sins, we have a God who's faithful and just, and he forgives our sins and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And he goes on and says, this God, he loves you. And get this, not only loves you, but he is love, with a love that's not like your love and my love that kind of hangs back and waits to go second, see what they'll do, but it's a love that goes first. And if that doesn't blow your mind enough, he says, get this, what we get in our reading from 1 John for this Sunday. He says, beloved, we are God's children right now. And what will be? What will be, and everything else will be, it will be great. But what will be? Well, it will be. And so walk in love. Serve in deed. Stay out of darkness. Not from a bitter God, not a shape up or burn, not a reprimand. Or if it is a reprimand, an evangelical reprimand, like my Holy Spirit flustered communion assistant. God loves you. You're God's child now. So get up and serve Jesus. God loves you. It's all done already. Why are you sitting there like a bump in a log? There's nothing else to do. God loves you. You are God's children now. So get up now and serve Jesus. You know, starting today, it's been in the bulletin insert a bunch of times on the email list. If you have it, we're starting this the Shine Week here at Emmanuel. Shine Week. You've probably seen it. It's a week in which we're encouraged more than any other weeks to let our lights shine, to let the light and the life and the love of God, who is light and is life, and is love, shine through us, especially in acts of service to our neighbors and our communities. There's some stuff which is starting today, and then hopefully your own sort of stuff through the week, and culminating after a shortened service next week to give us plenty of time to do our service projects before we eat our good meal, culminating next week in our Shine Sunday. So why are we doing all that? Why are we shining, hopefully not just this week, but all the time? Why these acts of service for our neighbors and community? I think it's right there in 1 John. Because we're God's children now, and because of what we will be when Jesus appears. Because we're God's children now, because it's all done. You might say, why in the world are we doing these acts of service? One good answer might be, well, because I've got a lot of free time. I've got a lot of free time. Because like the communion assistant told me, God loves you right now. If you don't like it, that's tough. He likes you anyways. He likes you and he loves you right now, already. Now, if God didn't love me yet, if he didn't love you yet, if that's relationship with God, maybe you get baptized and he says, well, this is kind of a probationary period to see how things go, to see if you maybe get enough good deeds on your list, to see if you shine with the appropriate incandescence, with the appropriate number of lumens to make sure you stay in God's good graces. If that's the way things work, well, then you wouldn't have much free time. You'd be working your rear off, just hoping to squeak in. But what does John say? He says, God loves you now. He says, the feast is prepared. No need to go shopping. No need to go putting your list together and getting the ingredients list together. No need to get out the best china and set the table. No need to work on increasing your social credit score so you can get your name on the invite list. It's all done. It's all prepared. The table is set. Your name is inscribed in the book of life with the blood of the Lamb. So what do you do when there's nothing left to do? How about this? Get up and serve Jesus. And why else? Why else shine? Why else get up and serve Jesus? Because Jesus is coming. And I don't mean this in the way, I'm sure I've mentioned the bumper sticker says, Jesus is coming, look busy. You know, have you seen this? I've said that a bunch of times. Like, oh no, Jesus is coming. When he shows up, I better be behaving myself. I don't mean that. I mean, shine because Jesus is coming, as in, because what we will be. One of the world's great New Testament scholars, a guy named N.T. Wright, says that when you look at the Bible, look at it as a five-act play. A five-act play. Act one, creation. God creates all that there is, and it is very, very good. Act two, you know, it's coming, the fall. It all goes wrong. We turn our backs on God. We turn inward on ourselves. We turn against one another. Everything's a mess. Act three, well, we've been rehearsing that over these past weeks through Lent and Passion Week and Easter. That is the redemption of the world. That is God in Christ taking upon himself all the sin and all the darkness and all the death, nailing it to the cross, leaving it in his empty tomb and bursting out victorious, that a promise that one day he'll set all things right. And then Act 5, what is Act 5? Well, that is the return of the King. That is Jesus coming back to fix all things, to make all the sad things come untrue, to raise us up, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting, the feast, and oh, what joy. You notice I missed an act. Act 4. What's Act 4? Well, that's you. That's me. That's right now. That's the body of Christ, the church, writing and living Act 4. God loves you. You know that from Act 1. Why else would God create the world other than he wanted more things to love? God loves you. You are God's child now. You know that from Act 3. Everything he's done to make you his. Act 4, what do? Get up and serve Jesus. And why? This might be a little counterintuitive. But you don't get up and serve Jesus in order to make the world a better place. We don't serve Jesus. We don't get up and serve Jesus in order to make the world a better place, or at least that's not the only reason. Because, you know, fact of the matter is, whatever you do today very well might get undone tomorrow. We'll be all shiny this week, but then the darkness descends next week to overshadow it all. No, we get up and serve Jesus, we shine, because we know we are, in fact, in an Act 4 that will be followed by an Act 5. We don't shine because we think we can fix the world, but because we know and we believe and we trust that God will. Like John says, he says when Jesus appears, he will fix us and he will fix everything. And serving Jesus is our little prophecy. Serving Jesus is your little sermon that the way things are now is not the way they always will be. During Act 4, we shine as a protest against the darkness that Act 5 will usher out for good. Act 5 is not yet, but in the meantime, we let our little acts of service be the prophecy that there will come a time when the mean things are not anymore at all. And when I say little things, I mean little things. Make a casserole for your neighbor. Knit a baby hat. Fill a little snack bag for a cop. Pick up some trash this week. Return someone else's cart to the cart return. Help the kid in the playground with the scuffed knee. Or if you're in middle school and your friend gets a bad haircut, lie to him and tell him it's a good haircut. Or if you're so pious that you can't bring yourself to lie, tell them that among the good graces of God is that hair grows out. or choose not to comment on social media or snapback or hitback. Or if you have a thing for this, advocate for good legislation. Advocate for the least and the lame and the lost without being a jerk. When someone asks you, what's the tuna casserole in the 9x13 for? Tell them this, because Jesus is alive and he's coming back. Shine and shine more Not because you're going to fix the world. You're not. But because Act 5 is coming, and it will. So it's all done. You are God's child now. What's coming is better. Even better, and it is as certain as the tomb is empty. Live in that certainty. Shine. In other words, God loves you. Now get up and serve Jesus. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, I was thinking, if that sermon was rousing enough, the Jew would have all just hopped up. And I noticed the doors open. I don't know why the doors open. There's one. So for now, we will get up and confess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in all things.